Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast. And I tell you what, this is October 2025, and I'm so excited to get into the study that we're launching into. Now, at the beginning of this year, the Lord led me to do a series of lessons on heaven. And there's a real impartation. And if you haven't heard them, go back and listen to them. They're 25-minute segments. I think there's about eight of them. And it's just a unique study on what the Bible says about heaven. Now, I've had this stirring coming on me to press into resurrection power. And there's going to be more than one of these podcasts. And I want you to get out your Bible, get out your paper, get out your pen, and let's just begin to get into the Word of God. And as we get into this, let's be declaring resurrection power. The thing that we know about resurrection power is things come alive again. So I'm believing that as we get into this, that things in your life that have died, even things that you have forgotten, it's been so long, that resurrection power is going to begin to breathe and to cause to live things that that used to live in you, used to be a part of you, your faith walk with the Lord. And, you know, a lot of times we start off in this faith walk and we're so excited, and then we start to hit life's battles. Battles come to us. We face situations. We face people. We face problems. And we get beat up, and we begin to weaken. In fact, that's what Jesus said in the book of Revelation to one of the churches. He says, you're weak, but you haven't quit. And a lot of times, that's how we are. You know, we've had the strength taken out of us, and we're just kind of making it through. And the Lord knows that. And he still applauds us. He knows what it's like to live on this planet. And so we're going to get into this message. Let me just open in a word of prayer, and we're going to get into resurrection power. Heavenly Father, I'm setting my faith that as I get into this study, you're going to release resurrection in me. You're going to release resurrection power into my friends, and that things are going to change. And Lord, I just prophesy that right now, that resurrection glory that raised Jesus from the dead is in operation in our lives. Father, I want to thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to get into this, let's go over to the book of Philippians. I just think there's just a scripture over here that's one of my favorite. Of course, they're all my favorite. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, and this is Paul. And these are some really deep words. He says that I may know him. Oh, it doesn't say that I can go to church. It doesn't say, you know, things like that. It says that I may know him. Now, we know that to get into heaven, Jesus has to know us. He says either I know you or I don't know you. So it doesn't matter when people say, I know the Lord, it's does the Lord know you? And here is Paul with this deep cry, I want to know you, Lord. And it's all about relationship. But then he says this, and. Now that word and is a beautiful word. It's a powerful word. There's more to it. And the power of his resurrection. Now, to me, I look at this and, you know, I would have been satisfied just to say, Lord, I want to know you. And everybody would say, amen. Oh, yeah, that's the heartbeat of Christianity. But that's not what Paul said. He said, I want to know the Lord. And I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Whew. Now, when you take time and begin to meditate on this, not just Jesus, but Jesus and the power of his resurrection, there's some deep glory that begins to stir in your life. Now, let's go over to Matthew chapter 28 to get a good look at this. Well, we're going to have to start with resurrection. And there's so many different directions we could go with this right now. I tell you, my spirit is just kind of bubbling right now. But let's go to Matthew chapter 28. The Bible says this, in the end of the Sabbath, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat on top of it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said to the women, "Fear not. I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Now, when you go to the book of Romans, and we'll just turn over there, Romans, and you want to go to chapter 6 and verse 4, Romans 6, verse 4. Let's just add a scripture into this here. The Bible says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now, what's happening here? Well, in Matthew 28, we're getting a picture, a wonderful picture of the resurrection. These ladies are heading to the tomb. The Sabbath is over. It's early in the morning. And they left before daylight. They didn't live next door to the tomb, and they didn't have Uber or a taxi, so it took a little while to get there. I don't think they slept that night. I think they stayed awake the whole night with anticipation. We've got to go to the tomb in the morning. Now, before we go on just with that portion, let's go to the book of Mark, and Mark 16. Let's carry on from Matthew's account, and let's look at Mark. Let's push them together. And verse 1, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." Now, this is talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, but it doesn't call her that here. It talks about James or Jacob, and it talks about one of his sisters who, I say Salome, I don't know, Salome, I don't know how you want to say it, but he had more than two sisters, okay? And we know that Salome was one of them, and that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, being the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. So the sun was rising now, okay? So they probably left before the sun was up. It takes a little while to get there. "And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. He said unto them, 'Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Oh, now let's just shoot over to Mark now. I mean to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, that's verse 1. They came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Oh. And as they were afraid, and they bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why do you seek ye the living amongst the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Now, I want you just to think about that. Because as we get into this, when it comes to this resurrection, Jesus talked about resurrection a lot. He talked about dying, and he talked about being raised back to life. He said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power or authority to take it back up again. Now, woo, that's like, my goodness, I have authority to give my life, and I have authority to take it back up. And so Jesus, in this operation of prophecy, because he was a man, he was God, but in his manhood, he was a servant. He was a man. He came putting aside the glory that he had with the Father during the creation of all things. He put all that glory aside. He took on the form of a servant, on the form of a man, and submitted himself to who? The Father. And he would prophesy and speak forth unto the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to be raised back to life. So these ladies, all of a sudden, they remembered. How many times did he tell us about this? They just didn't have revelation. For whatever reason, the Spirit of God wasn't revealing it to them. Jesus was speaking, but those words were waiting for the appropriate time to bring forth revelation. And I believe before Jesus comes back that this message of resurrection, not just the message of it, but the power and the glory of resurrection, I just believe for a mantle of that anointing to just come around you like a garment, like a big coat, and that the body of Christ all over the world, that there's a shift, there's something new happening, and that this power of resurrection is going to infuse the body of Christ for the end time preaching of the gospel. Now listen. When those apostles were going out, they were preaching the name of Jesus by faith in his name and the power of resurrection. And because of that, signs and wonders were following. And I am believing right now, all over the earth, that the name of Jesus, the authority of it, the faith of his name, and the preaching of resurrection is going to bring the church back into a book of Acts, back into a first century church operation. And I'm believing for that. I am believing that we're going to see for an amount of time. I don't think it's going to be a long time. I think it's going to be short. I think it's going to be to the point. It's going to be sharp. And it's going to get a job done. And it's, I tell you what, the glory of God that's going to be released. Why? For a harvest of souls on this side of the tribulation and a harvest of souls during the tribulation. We are coming into the greatest harvest of souls, people calling on the name of Jesus, being separated from their iniquities and coming into a realm of faith, coming into a place in Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to the book of John. Let's look at John real quick here. And I got the have a little touch of preach on me here. And John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Oh, I tell you what, the Lord is so good. He's just so wonderful. And John chapter 20 and verse 1. Now the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre. She runs. She came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, says unto them, they have taken away the Lord from the sepulchre. We know not. Now remember, we know not where they have taken him. Now, what's happening here is these ladies, they're going and they're talking about who's going to remove the stone. And when they get there, I think what happens is they freeze. They don't go any further. And I think being women, being out there, a little bit of timidity about going any further. I think they see that the stone's been rolled away from afar. And I don't think you just want to run into that situation. You don't know what's going on. And I think what happened is the lady stayed there, but Mary ran back to get help. She runs back. She tells Peter. She tells John. And then they take off. They leave her in the dust. Okay, they're outrunning her. And John's outrunning Peter. And so let's see here. So Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, they came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter, and he came first to the sepulcher. Stooping down, looking, he saw the linen cloth lying, yet he did not go in. So even Peter, he's not rushing in here, okay? There's something going on here. So the ladies see it. They don't go any further. Mary goes back, gets those two disciples. Two disciples, they run. John outruns Peter. He gets to it. He looks in, and then here comes Peter, okay? Then comes Simon Peter following him, went into the sepulcher. He sees the linen cloths, okay? The napkin that was about his head, not lying with the other linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw, and he believed it. He believed that the body was gone. He believed that something was happening. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So then the disciples went away unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. She sees the two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, Woman, why do you weep? She said unto them, Because they have taken away the Lord, my Lord, and I know not where they have taken him. Now, let's just pause here. These angels carry the same message, but we also know from the earlier is that the angel on the right did the principal speaking here. Now, we know with the Lord, often we find that there are two angels that minister with the Lord. When the Lord walked into the camp of Abraham, two angels with him. Those two angels ended up going over to Sodom and Gomorrah. Daniel, there was the Lord was above the river, and there were two angels, one on each side of the river. And so even in Acts, you have the Lord heading up to heaven, and there's two angels. So there are two angels that minister side by side next to the Lord. So I want you to see, I mean, Jesus is a military commander. He is the King of Kings. He has two aides. Those two aides stand right there. And I don't think they're little beginner angels. I would imagine, I'm speculating, that it's probably Gabriel and Michael, to be honest with you, who stand there so close to him. Now, in when you talk about the disciples, you had 12 and then you had 11. But in that group of 11, you had three that were just a little bit closer to the Lord. That was Peter, James, and John. And so there were certain times he took those three guys aside and he was imparting into them on a little higher level, such as going in, raising the daughter of Jairus. It was Peter, James, and John. Going up to the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Peter, James, and John. And so you see these guys were given just a little closer relationship. Even in Acts, even in Corinthians, when the Lord is raised from the dead, the Lord has a personal one-on-one encounter with Peter and a personal one-on-one encounter with James. And you say, well, what happened to John? Why didn't he get a personal one-on-one? Well, he did. It just, he had to wait till the book of Revelation. And then he had a really big personal one-on-one revelation with the Lord of glory. And so these three men, they just had a little closer position with the Lord. And there's two angels that have just a little closer position with the Lord. And so there are degrees of relationship that we can have with the Lord. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. There were people such as Lazarus, and we're going to talk about him. He was raised from the dead. The Bible says the Lord loved him. Was it because he was in ministry? No. He was an apostle? No. He was just someone that had a friendship with Jesus, and he had that position of closeness with him. And I really think, you know, we have that too, to the degree we want to learn how to walk with him and press into him to know him. And that's where we go back to Paul. I want to know him. He didn't say, I want to do more ministry. He didn't say that. He had a ministry, but he said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know him in that resurrection life. And so here we are in this, oh my goodness, this wonderful story here of the angel coming down, moving the stone. He is shining full of the light of heaven. Heaven's a real place. And those angels were looking at the face of Almighty God, the Father. And in that glory, they were coming down with such light, stronger than the light of the sun. And wham, that light knocks those soldiers down. The angel moves that stone. And according to the book of Romans, that God manifests his glory in the very pit of the earth. The glory of God was manifested. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 that Jesus stripped off of him. He took off of him the principalities and powers, Colossians 2:15. He stripped them off of himself and he made an open show of them by triumphing over them, leading in them in a procession. They were naked. He was fully clothed. They were conquered and he was the conqueror. So this glory of God manifests in the very center of the earth, and Jesus comes up with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And I'm telling you what, he walks out of that tomb full of resurrection glory and resurrection life. And that's why we're going to get into this subject. I want you, as we end this podcast, I want you to see that tomb. I want you to see, like those ladies, who's going to roll the stone? Who's going to roll the stone? Friend, I'm praying that the eyes of our understanding will see the stone is rolled. Just walk out. Just walk out. Full of resurrection glory, resurrection, newness of life. Now, Father, I pray for my friend in the name of Jesus that this revelation of resurrection power will infuse my friends, infuse me. And Father, we pray that this message will go out to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. Remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.